Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and with me today, our leading lady is Amy Lusewski, who is the founder and the artistic director of Finest City Improv. And I'm excited about our topic today because we're going to talk about this wonderful word that's called improvisation as a business tool and how to unleash your inner superstar. So Amy, welcome to the show. Tell everybody and all of our listeners hello and just a little bit about Finest City Improv.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. Hello, everyone. As you said, my name is Amy, and I am the Artistic Director of Finest City Improv. We've been around for about 4 years now, and what we do is we create something wonderful out of nothing every night on stage, and we also teach classes on how to do that, and I work with business professionals to help them use the tools that we use to get out on stage and make things up to have a better success in their lives and in their work.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty big. And I don't know if that was, you know, did you improv that or did you have that all written out?
I completely improvised that.
I love that. It has to be that way because we're talking about improvisation, you know, and I'm curious, for some of our listeners that don't know Amy, it's like, can you kind of share what is improvisation? Because I know, you know, you're talking about how it can be a valuable tool for business and for women leaders, but describe what improvisation is for everybody.
Well, most people have probably seen the television show Whose Line Is It Anyway on TV. So if you've seen that, you see some really experienced players taking suggestions from the audience and making up sketches on the spot, very funny sketches and playing games. What we do at Finest City Improv is similar to that. We go out on a stage, and I love to tell this story because everyone's heart's going to start beating faster and everyone's palms are going to sweat when I tell you that we enjoy going out on an empty stage with nothing but some chairs. We have no costumes. We have no scripts. We have no props. There's 65 people sitting in the audience staring at us, and what we say is, give us a word. And they could give us a word like sunglasses, and we will, for the next 30 minutes to an hour, create a show, like a sketch comedy show, like a play that's both the opening night and the closing night. So it's going to happen once, it'll never happen again. It's all completely made up on the spot. We figure out who we are, where we are, why we're there, and we can imagine anything. And in doing all that, we make it really funny. So that is what you would see if you came to an improv comedy show.
I got to tell you, that puts the fear of God in me just hearing that, you know, that you would be on a stage and someone would give you a word and you're like, okay, let's see a show. I mean, I'm kind of curious. So, you know, when you talk about how it's a good business tool to be able to kind of lead better, more effectively, lead better teams, because seriously, that is scary. I mean, most people have the fear of public speaking as enemy number one, but what... You know, how do you get people to do that, and how does it help with people in leadership and managing teams?
Well, and that's exactly it. And when I work with teams, I start with that story because I want them to understand too that before we all go out on stage, our hearts start beating faster and our palms sweat too. So why do we do it? Well, it's a huge challenge, and it's a great way to face fears and to have a lot of fun. Now, we're not born with this gift. What we do is there are skills that we have learned, and we practice this. So again, that sounds funny. How do you practice improvising? Well, we have some really basic things that we all agree to, such as no matter what happens when we get out there, we're all going to support each other. We're all going to have each other's backs. We all know that what we're doing is making it up on the spot. So anything someone says out there and adds to the show we immediately agree with. And so improv is possible because we have this saying, which is yes and that's agreeing to the adding reality, agreeing to any offer that's given, and adding something to it. And when you follow this rule, it gets easier and easier and easier. So the reason why we teach this to companies and to teams and to business people is because all day long we're improvising on smaller levels, or we're being asked to make choices, to make decisions, to follow through on things. And so the skills that we use to be able to get out and do something as extreme as getting out on a blank stage in front of a huge audience and make something funny are very similar skills that you can use to be successful. For instance, just knowing how to have each other's backs. Yeah, just knowing how to have each other's backs and practice games where you really can build support and trust with each other. That's one, for example.
And, you know, it's interesting because I have colleagues of mine, one in particular, one of our co-founders to Connected Women of Influence, and I agree with her. She'll say trust is the number one thing in business. You know, and I would imagine, you know, when companies bring you in and they're saying, look, we want our team to be more cohesive, we want our company departments to work more effectively. Is that where you come in? And can you describe what that process would be like? I mean, what I'm envisioning, thinking of you, I mean, I could see it for like people that are, let's say, wanting to be comedians or they love to act or that kind of thing. But I mean, talk about the fear of you know what to a team of business people. How do you get them to, like, you know, just embrace this? And if you're working with the team, how do you get them to engage with this? Because it's an awesome tool, but I can see some stodginess going on with, like, men and women. They're like, oh, I don't know about that. You know, I'm not into games or activities or whatever. What do you deal with business teams?
Absolutely, Michelle. That's a perfect question to ask. You know, and we've gone into companies such as one of our clients is GoPro, and we've worked with the engineering team there, and, you know, to get them off their computers and say, hey, we're all going to do improvisation, and don't even mention the word comedy. So, because the first thing we get is, wait a minute, are you going to make me bark like a dog? Are you going to make me feel stupid? I'm not funny, right? So here's the cool thing about improv. I always start by saying that if you manage to play the games you played in kindergarten and got an A in that, or even a B, you can probably do what we do. Because we will literally, what I'll do is have them stand up in a circle, say a group of 18 to 20 people, and we will play some games such as Zip, Zap, Zop, where we are just literally saying the words Zip, Zap, Zop to each other, but we're doing it in random patterns around the circle. And what's happening is, in order to be successful at this game, you have to make eye contact. You have to use your voice and your intentions. You have to put your commitment behind it. And what I teach them is, now I want you to go as fast as possible, because if you make a mistake, we celebrate that. So here's the thing. In improv, we fail all the time, because that's, you know, if you work for Saturday Night Live, you get time to sit down and write and try your sketches out, and then, you put them up. In improv, we're doing it on the spot. So we have to give each other the freedom to fail. So what this does is it helps build the courage. And what we do is we play as fast as we can. And as soon as somebody makes a quote-unquote mistake, we all have to have a huge cheer. And so after a while, everyone feels like, oh, okay. Like, I can just kind of let go and put it out there. I don't have to be so concerned about, you know, be so critical of myself and be so evaluating before I will initiate something, before I will contribute something. And we play a lot of these games that people can just sort of lose themselves in and have some fun. And before they know it, they're freed up, and they're trusting the other people that if they do make a mistake, they don't have to apologize for it. And that's where we start building the ensemble. And it's the same thing we do to get a team together to go out on a stage. We build trust that way by saying, guys, we all have each other's backs, and it's okay if you fail, because we're going to have a good laugh about it and move on.
I love that. And I'm kind of curious. It's like, you know, as you've done some of these team corporate kinds of training, it's like, what are some of the things that, you know, some of the attendees have said afterwards? I mean, you know, when you kind of like roll around and like, okay, now that you've experienced this, it's like, you know, making your point of how that works to benefit you and your team. I love this phrase, you know, freedom to fail, because I do think so many, and especially women, you know, it's the perfectionist thing. It's, you know, can't do anything wrong. You know, don't step out of your comfort zone, you know, to be, be visible in some cases. But, you know, what are some of the benefits that, you know, individuals have shared with you after they've gone through this, you know, from a business standpoint? What do they say has been their biggest benefit that they've taken back to the office with them?
First and foremost, I see that people in just about 2.5 hours, they've seen each other in a light that they've never seen them in. And there's a new level of comfort with each other that, you know, there's this different level of comfort. Because what I've had everyone do once I build the trust is then I push people a little bit to get out of their comfort zones. And so in doing that in front of others, they've shown, you know, a little bit of vulnerability. We've learned a little bit more about them than we might in regular interactions. People have told me, wow, it was so cool to see people that I've known for a while, people that sit right next in the, you know, in the office next to me, to see them just be silly, to see them let loose and to see a new side of them I haven't seen. So now they feel a little more comfortable, you know, having that connection with them and talking about something that might be difficult to talk about. Also, you mentioned women, and that's something I bring up a lot, is because I do find that women tend to self-edit themselves a little more, and that's inhibiting their innovation and their creativity. So we play a lot of games where you are forced to say the first thing on your mind and not be able to self-edit. We play a lot of games where you have to think, I mean, you have to leap without thinking. You have to jump in and just create something, and then we don't worry about evaluating it. So what it does is it sort of levels the playing field, because there's always going to be a few people like myself that have no trouble talking in front of the other people, that have no trouble saying what's on my mind and the ideas I have. And that really serves me well, because people know what I want. People know what I'm thinking. But there's other people that don't do that as well and don't feel as confident in that. So what I'm doing is giving them a safe place to practice doing that and feel the rewards that come from taking those risks, and then it kind of sits with them and they go, oh, okay, like I know how to make sure my voice is heard now, and I know that if it doesn't come out perfectly, that's okay. And so this gives them a way to practice that. So yeah, I had a lot of women say that it's really helped them afterwards, that they really felt like, especially you see, I can clearly see, you know, the people in the room that at first are feeling uncomfortable. And they probably haven't even been told they were going to do improv, because they would have been so nervous that they would have called in sick that day. But they get there, and honestly, I've had them say, can we do this again? Can you come back? Because I, you know, and a lot of people that sign up for our level one intro classes, they're there because they're like, I'm too shy. I'm too nervous. And I need to get over it. And they do. And then they like speak up. Then they're like, oh, I'm going to change my job. Oh, I'm going to ask for a raise. So
yeah.
Really build confidence.
Well, and I was liking that because I'm a big believer in kind of repetitive, consistent learning, where it's like it doesn't happen like a one-time shot. So I was curious, you know, do you go into companies and they do like a series of different things, or is it that companies do one time, kind of like, you know, professional enrichment? I mean, what do you find is obviously probably success is best when it's over a period of time with different work teams and professionals. Am I right?
Absolutely. Most of the workshops we do are half day or about 3 hours, and they are first and foremost team building. Then, but there is one company we've worked with where I've been able to work with the same group of people, and this is a loan company. These are people that all day long tell people why they can't have their loan, or they have to say no all the time, and followers. And, so what we did is we spent a couple hours over 3 months, like 3 different workshops, and I definitely saw more growth. I definitely saw them coming back and saying, I found a way to say no in a way that made the person understand that I was listening to them without having to just come out and say no. I found that I'm feeling closer to my coworkers and I can bring up issues that we're having a little easier. So definitely that helps. And then on a personal level, I have found that I always get a few people from each workshop that then come and will sign up for our 7-week classes. And these are the people that will, you know, they don't have any desire to get on stage, really. After, by level two, they're like, yeah, that was fun out on stage. I'll do it again. And that helps them in their next level of growth, because now they're not only doing it with a group of people they know, they get to know in the classroom, now they're going out and trying it with that group that they trust in front of strangers. And they're finding out, wow, I'm okay. And you know what? I actually have fun. These are the women that, and we have lots of stories of this that we've got on our website about women who have then gone on and like changed jobs. Or I had one of my level two students recently tell me, oh my God, like I just took for granted what work was supposed to be like. And when I come to improv class and then go back to work, I realize like, why aren't we happier? Why can't we be having a little more fun and being a little happier? And she's like, it's getting harder and harder to go back to that work, and I think I need to find something more fulfilling. So it's really interesting and really how it just bleeds into everything, the way that we think.
No, I mean, that's pretty powerful, because I would think, you know, if there's any sort of problem, it's like, you know, lightening up. I love, because I've talked to your client engagement manager, Kat, and she brought up the yes and. And tell me the philosophy, is there more to the yes and? I mean, is that also kind of a mantra? It's like, is it something that you guys go out and talk on just outside of improvisation, or is it always tied in to improvisation, the yes and philosophy?
The yes and philosophy is definitely a mantra. It's like the center of our universe. And this has, you know, like about a 55-year history, starting with the Second City. And this is the idea, another way to say it is agree and add something. So it's one thing, and it's very interesting. I actually have a book coming out about saying yes and not only to others, but especially for women, to yourself. So saying, okay, yes, here's the reality right now. What am I going to do with this? How am I going to add to this? What's my contribution? And because I have one, I always have one. And before I say no to something, before I put the brakes on something, before I put a brake on an idea that I have, what if I just said yes right now? Because this is going to lead to more possibilities. So let me step back and explain to everyone a really fun, simple thing you can do at home. So if you have a friend, grab a friend and do something called two-person conversations. This is something I do with all my clients. We start a conversation. So one person is going to tell the other person about something they did recently, something wonderful, something real. And you're going to be very, very excited about it. You are. And the other person is just going to sort of tune out. They're like, that's nice, whatever, not interested, right? The kind of thing that we sometimes get maybe from, say, our significant others. So maybe you've had this conversation.
Yep. So true, absolutely.
So that doesn't feel so great. Then we have them switch and have the other person how about something we could do in the future, or something they want to do in the future, something they're passionate about, something they're excited about, an idea. And the other person's going to do the old yes, but game. They're going to say, yeah, that's great, but, and list all the reasons why it won't work. List all the reasons why that's not a good idea. You know, just kind of shooting it down. Oh, you probably are familiar to these conversations at work already, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then there's a
Absolutely.
Third conversation where the only thing you're allowed to say to each other after someone adds something is yes and let's. So if I say, hey, Michelle, let's go to Hawaii. You would say, yes, Amy. And when we get there, let's go to a luau. And I would say, yes. And at the luau, we'll get up and we'll dance a hula. And you'll say, yes. And we'll wear coconut bras and we'll dance all night. And we would do this for the next 2 minutes and see where it leads us. And just you'll feel how different that conversation is. And so this is the beauty of yes and. Yes and is the conversation that's the most active and leads to the most possibilities. Now, we're not saying that you go and be a yes person to everybody. You know, that's a different conversation, especially with women saying yes to too many things. What we're saying is say yes to your ideas, say yes to what is happening right now, and first see where you can take that. So when we get up on stage and someone says, hello, Ma, the corn's looking great this year. Oh, in my head I go, I'm this person's mother, we're on a farm, and we're happy about the harvest. And all I have to do is agree to that and add something. So before I move on with my own ideas, before I move on with, you know, shutting that down and saying that's not what I had planned, I'm going to just sit in that reality and take some time to play with that. See what happens. because this is where creativity starts to, you know, come out. This is where innovation lives. This is where courage happens. That's what yes and is for us. I'm standing.
You're so smart. I'm so sorry I'm interrupting, and forgive me, but I'm so excited about this because I'm like, you know, as women, and this is for our listeners and everybody listening today, but, you know, so many women say, I need to say no more often. I need to focus on how to say no. And I'm like, that's so limiting. And like what you've done with this yes and is you've opened up almost like Pandora's box in a great way, because I think it's a more powerful, you know, way to say, yes, I'd love to come. It's like, you know, if you need to say no, it's like, yes, I'd love to come, but let me check with the family first and I'll get back to you. I mean, I don't know. I just, so much out there is like, learn how to say no. And I just think that's so negative, and yours is very positive and very empowering. So when does the book come out? I got to ask that one because I want to buy one.
Hopefully in about a month. It'll be up on Amazon. Woo! Yeah, in about a month.
Yay!
It's got little exercises in it and real stories. In fact, one of my colleagues that she's not an improviser, she is a speaker and a coach, and she has, you know, thousands of followers, and she gets up and does these huge events, and she's so confident and poised. And I was so excited because I taught her clients some improv, and she just came up to me recently at the theater and said, Amy, I got to tell you, her name's Lisa, I just went on this huge trip to Machu Picchu. And it's something that I never thought I would do. It's really not the kind of thing I do. And I just had the most amazing experience. And I have to tell you, it's because after we talked about yes and I practiced that and I felt comfortable with that, someone said, why don't we go to Machu Picchu? And instead of me just shutting down and my fear saying, no, that I don't do that. She's like, I yes anded it. And next thing you know, I was there and I had the most incredible experience. And I'm just so happy about that. Like I just rolled with it. And you know, that's a big story, but and day to day and little, you know, the little things of like, hey, you know, maybe I could be the one that takes charge of that project. Maybe I could start the business I'm thinking of. Yes. And you know, you don't have to jump in and do it all, but if you yes and your idea at least, and just start writing that down and see where that goes, because it's the and that's the magic. It's the add something and then agree to that and add something.
I think we could talk for hours, girl, because I'd love to have you back on the show when your book's out. So we'll talk about that one, because I think you have a lot
fantastic
more to share. But let me ask you this, you know, Amy, it's like, how did you even get started? First of all, I want, you know, tell everybody how they can reach you. If there's people that have questions, if they want to reach you post show or anything like that, how would you like people to contact you? And I know you're going to say yes, and...
Yes, absolutely. So for anybody that's not in San Diego, you might not know that we are America's finest city, which is where the name Finest City Improv comes from. So
love
you can
it.
Find us at finestcityimprov.com. And it is a nod to the second city where I was trained in improvisation. And you can give us a call at 619-306-6047 and talk to Kat or I. Kat Brown is wonderful. She is my right-hand gal, and she is one of the funniest people on earth. So if you want to call and just talk to her and have a laugh, that's fine too.
I love
yes.
it.
And
yes,
how
yes,
I got yes. started. It's interesting because, so I have a master's degree in library and information sciences, and I was doing consulting.
No way. Wait, stop on that one.
Yes,
I just have
I'm
to
a
pause
librarian.
On that. Seriously? Wow.
I am.
That is so 180 degrees different from improvisation.
Right?
I'm sorry. I had to stop you there. Yeah,
no
that's
worries.
Crazy.
Well, that's where my business brain comes from, but I've always been a dancer. I've always been a performer and an actor.
Wow.
And so I was working in business, but I wanted to get back to doing creative pursuits. So maybe about 10 or 12 years ago, I started taking acting again. And my acting coach said, Amy, why aren't you just doing improv? And I said, wait, I can do this and not have to memorize. I can just make it all up myself. Like I could be completely in charge, which is interesting because I found out with improv that I have to actually let go more because I have to work as a team. It's not all about me, but that's
right.
Another story. So I started going to the second city for classes, and I just went head over heels in love with it. And what happened is I found that to really pursue that at the level I wanted to, I would have to move to Los Angeles. And I really had thought about it long and hard, and I decided, well, I'd like to stay in San Diego. We have a great market here for it. We have 3 million people, and we have only one improv theater, nothing like they have up in L.A. And I said, well, I have the capital from my consulting. I have the time, and yes, and let's do it. And so what I did is I found other people passionate, and I invested money, and I started building, and we were doing shows out of other locations for about a year and started to teach. And I found a location and off we went. And so I just created the business and it's been fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Worked with hundreds
yes,
of students
and.
Now. Yes, and we have an amazing community. It's so much fun. So if you're in San Diego, definitely come hang out with us.
Yeah, I have to say for all of our listeners, if you're not in San Diego, I'm so sorry because we do live in America's finest city. But, you know, two final questions. And one is, it's like if people are in an area that's not San Diego, are there improvisation programs that they could maybe look into if they're interested in what you're talking about? What would be some recommendations you'd have if people are not in the area? Because we do have national listeners kind of curious where would you suggest they look?
Oh, absolutely. There are improv theaters. It's gotten so popular in almost every city. So even if you're not in New York, LA, Chicago, Toronto, there are improv theaters in the middle of Utah. So if you Google for improv classes, and if you don't find any, just shoot us an email at Find a City Improv, and we'll help you find that because we're part of something called the National Improv Network. And I'm also part of something called the Applied Improvisation Conference. And so we have connections with theaters all over the country, and we can help connect you, too.
Very cool. And, hey, here's a big question. This is my final question to you, and then we're almost out of time here. But, you know, when you think of the next 5 years, I mean, kind of paint a picture, if you don't mind, Amy, of where is the future for you and Find a City Improv? I mean, they call it BHAG, right? What's your big, hairy, audacious goal? I mean, where do you want to be in 5, 10 years? What's the picture like for you?
I have a goal that I would say 2 million out of the 3 million people in San Diego County within the next 5 years will not only know what improv is, will have come and visited Find a City Improv. And anybody who has the inkling that they want more out of life, they want to be happier, they feel like they haven't fully achieved their potential, will try an improv class and have an awesome experience from it and have a lot more fun in life.
I only have one answer, and that is yes, and. That was cool. I mean, anyway, I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you for being on our show today. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening in, and a special, special thank you to, you know, all of our sponsors and supporters. So next week, I want to share that our leading lady next week is going to be a book author, a fabulous book author, by the way. Her name is Carol Sankar, and she's the owner of Carol Sankar Enterprises. And I don't know if any of you have heard of this book, but there's a book called The Confidence Factor for Businesswomen. It is amazing. I actually bought the book. I've been reading the book. I cannot wait to interview Carol. So that's next Friday at 2 p.m. I want to thank again all of our listeners because we're here every single Friday. And if I can say this, as all of you are out there going about your day and doing business and conducting business, you know, one of the things that we are big advocates for in Connected Women of Influence is be supportive of other women. So if you're out there and you find a woman that needs some assistance or help or support, or just need some advice or feedback, you know, please go there for and support one another. So on that note, all of you have a fabulous weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.